Good evening, everyone. You about ready? This is Marty Ford coming to you live on BBSRadio.com. We're located in the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsil Wash Station. I am the original American Idol. And for that, I don't know why, but I'm bestowing that honor upon myself. You're ready for another powerhouse hour before you shower, empowering you to reach your very own ivory success-filled tower. Because the theme of the show, on and on and on, is self-improvement for you, our great listeners, to become empowered, to accomplish more than you ever thought possible, to fight boredom, the enemy of us all, to get yourself up, get yourself out, and get yourself going. Those are overlapping themes that we talk about over here. It's Tuesday, 9 p.m., time to listen to me once again, because I know you are listening to them. At times, I say it over and over again, this eclectic, informative, humorous blend of stuff in my head that needs to be said. So let's get going as we are competing tonight, as I just told our great engineer at bbsradio.com. We are competing tonight with the President of the United States, and that's a pretty big task to overcome. And I will overcome that because I will tell you this. You're going to hear more of the same. It's like a college degree. You get a BS, and we all know what BS is. Then you go for a couple more years education. You get an MS. That's more of the same BS. Then for those motivated and lucky enough to achieve money to pay for it through grants or fellowships, which is great, scholarships, you can get a PhD, which is what? Piled higher and deeper. So you go from your BS, which is the bull stuff, to the MS, more of the same, to the PhD piled higher and deeper. It's all the same stuff, rewritten, revised, paraphrased, embedded with all the things that you've done originally. Sort of like what you've learned here over the past few months about information that you're getting now. It's not us, older folks maybe, but the kids. We're bombarding them with information overload. That's a cliche. They get information, boom, 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 all day, pounded into them. Let's have another class. Let's not go out and play and have recess and have some fun and let off steam, and maybe our ADD will go away or go down, or we'll be focused on other things, and our behavior will be good, so we don't have to line up for medical treatment at the schools when we should be in class learning. So if you blend a little bit of play, you get a lot of results for that. So you start out with information, which transcends into knowledge as you reach middle life. And as you become a senior citizen, that once started as information, turned into knowledge, now as a senior in your 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s, and so forth, turns into wisdom. How often have you heard a kid go away to college, come back? I heard it tonight. I'll tell you about that in a minute. At basketball, which is great. We got back into it because the vortex didn't shut down the schools and the snow. But how many times have you heard a kid come back from school, maybe a Christmas break or summer break, and they're sitting down with their family having dinner, and the kid says, "You know, Mom and Dad, it's amazing," right? There's our cliche. It's amazing. Isn't it wonderful how much you've learned in the 3 or 4 years I've been away, right? And that's just knowledge, information, catching up to knowledge, turning into wisdom. The parents are now, the kid is now as informed and knowledgeable and on his way to being as wise as his parents who have been telling these things his whole life or her whole life. And you have to go out as a kid and experience that away from the family. You have to make decisions. And if you are empowered, so if you're making your bed and you're taking out the trash and you're doing chores around the house, and maybe the laundry or cooking a meal or cleaning up after the meal and setting a table and all the other things that we do in our daily. If you're doing that yourself, you have a head start on being empowered. Your parents probably empowered you. Hopefully somebody read books to you so that when you went to school in preschool or kindergarten, first grade, you knew your numbers, shapes, letters, and numbers, letters, shapes, colors as well. Right? Although I forgot the big four. And so you're empowered. So the teacher doesn't have to spend that time teaching you, as the majority of the kids are not empowered like that. So they have to hold you back. Not fair, but that's the way it works. So you have a head start on life. As I said, I did play ball tonight. We missed a few weeks because of the weather here on the East Coast. And it was great to be back with the guys. We didn't have as big a turnout because I think the cold kept some guys away. Hard to believe, but we need that run. We need that burn. We need that competition. We need to bang bodies. We need to dive on the floor. We need to touch the ball. We need to shoot the ball. We need to play the game the way it's been made to play, with love and passion and heart. Because that's how you play. You play with talent, but you win with heart. You cannot teach heart. You cannot teach passion or desire. Mediocre athletes turn into great athletes because they have heart. They have the will to win. They are themselves empowered to do so. And it's a wonderful feeling. I miss it when I don't do it. And tonight was a great night. I even scored a basket or two and shocked my fellow players, my teammates especially. Wow, because I usually don't shoot. I'm the guy that does everything but shoot and let the other guys who are younger, more skilled and capable, let them take charge of it. But today, something got in me and I made two or three shots, and only after taking maybe four or five. So I had a good percentage. And that made me feel good about myself. That's success. That's what empowerment is. That's what it's all about, accomplishing more than you ever thought possible. At my age, and we'll talk about it later when we fight boredom, at 63, I shouldn't be playing with guys 25, 28 years old. And some of the college kids were back over break who were 19, 20, and 21. I should not be doing that. All the experts tell you not to. But you know what? I want to do it as long as I can. And I'm hurting. I have aches and pains. But I'll tell you straight up, the pain of not playing is far worse than any pain I have learned to endure. So we play tonight. And it's great, and hopefully we'll play Thursday if the weather cooperates and the vortex doesn't shut us down. We're in our second wave of vortex out here on the East Coast, and the South is getting blasted, and they're not used to that, all that snow. They're not equipped. I don't even think they have a shovel down there in some towns, and they just actually shut things down for safety's sake, and that's what you have to do. Safety's sake, safety first, keep the people safe until it's proper to go outside. So tonight's the State of the Union, and we'll talk about that now before it goes out of my head. You're going to hear the same things said over and over again. And sometimes we do that here because I'm old and I forget what I've told you in the past few weeks or months, so a little repetition isn't too bad. But we're going to hear the same monotonous, predictable, well-written, expertly delivered by the president. They all speak well. They must take classes on that. It's wonderful how they present so well and really tell you nothing that you really don't either know or don't want to hear, because it's not going to solve the problems and the issues. They're going to talk about it. One side will applaud and stand. The other side will sit there, and that's how they play. And we're going to play their game for an hour or two, and then they probably had the pre-speech show for a couple of hours to tell you what they're going to talk about. And then after the president's done and shakes hands and walks the crowd and embraces all his supporters and so forth, while the other side walks out angry or upset or bored or all of the above, and they get their turn for a rebuttal in front of the camera to say that what all that was wrong or inappropriate or inaccurate as far as what the president's going to tell you his successes have been, few as they probably are. And then after that, Republican counter speech, you'll have the experts on the national news networks, cable news networks, all talking at the same time, trying to get their point in, that they know exactly what the president meant when he said this, that, and the other, and they really don't, but they have to be heard, and they all sit there nodding their head as the camera's on them, waiting for them to talk, because they can't sit still. They didn't have recess when they were a kid. They don't play right now because they're so intent on getting their words in, even though they might not be as accurate or truthful as they want us to believe they are. In other words, they're filling time. Sort of like the professional sports do. Like the Super Bowls this week, the pregame show has been going on for probably 3 months. Now the past two or three weeks, it's been honed in and focused because they know the two teams who are playing or that are playing. So you get the pregame ritual, you'll have the game, and then afterwards you'll have the postgame celebrations, interviews, frustrations, and disappointments, and they'll have that for about another week, ad nauseum, all over the sports stations and cable networks and so forth, to relive the moments, right, good and bad. And so it goes on and on and on, and I think they got their role modeling from the WWF, now the WWE, which, by the way, is probably the best marketing and promotions enterprise in the world, because they do it right. They'll tell you 4 months from now about the main event that's happening, whatever spectacle they're going to put on, and Right now, there's some great history in the WWF, which I happen to love. I grew up with it. Granny taught my brother and I to sit and watch all those big guys throwing each other all over the place and spinning and jumping and twisting and turning and having a great time. And my brother and I would try to simulate that in our house. And when one of our feet almost took out the TV, Mom put a stop to that. So we did it outside. When we played, and another kids came over, and we played for hours and hours. But this, I think, is the 30-year anniversary of Hulk Hogan winning the championship against the Iron Sheik when Hulk got out of the camel clutch, as well acted as that was. I was watching. There was a YouTube. My son found a link, I guess that's called on the computer, and I hooked up the link or clicked the link, and there it was. I am a real American. Hulk doing his bit, entertaining and giving us all something to live for and wait for every week, in anticipation of the next event that was going to happen on the WWE or WWF shows that they had. So it's a happy time for me because I grew up with that and I love it. I enjoy it. I'm not as much into it now. Why? Because our kids are older and they're not so much involved with it either. And that's a phase of life. I'm not involved with a lot of things. I used to coach Little League sports, all the kids. And I'm not involved with that. Because why? My kids aren't in it. We're out of the loop in our town where we live because we're not where? In the schools where things are a community. There's always something going on. Another pasta party, another team sport event, another back-to-school night, another crisis that has to be dealt with. We're out of the loop. We're older now. We're watching the new and younger people going through their motions with this stuff. So we always want to start our show with some critical thinking because the basis of becoming empowered yourself is your ability to think critically. Because how many times have you said to yourself, wow, somebody would say to you, say, man, why did you do that? Well, I wasn't thinking. And the more finely tuned our critical thinking is, not to criticize it, but just if you don't want to use critical thinking, just use thinking. If that scares you, critical thinking, because it sounds so analytical and academic. So if you just heighten your thinking and your awareness, you'll be surprised and elated at all that you can accomplish just by taking a step back and thinking about what you're doing, where you're going, who you're with, and how the outcome might turn out if certain things go one way or the other. And that all comes from planning. And we could do that if we teach kids chess in the little schools, first and second grade, because chess encompasses many of the life skills that are needed. You know, thinking, planning, strategy, patience, responsibility, consequences for making a wrong move. Oh, I lost my queen. You lose your queen, you're in trouble. You got to fight now with two rooks, a couple of bishops maybe, and now you feel weak. You're operating from a position of weakness where you want to be empowered, in control, and function from a position of strength. So last week, we had our critical thinking brain buster, if you will. Yeah, and the question was, what does everyone leave behind when they go home from the beach? What does everyone leave behind when they go home from the beach? And of course, the answer, obvious answer for many, oh, it's trash, a bracelet, a football, a beach chair, a little shovel that gets stuck that the kids were playing with, or a bucket that they were playing with. No, everyone, not everyone does that, but everyone, when they leave the beach, leaves their footprints behind. That's what's in the sand, footprints. Look behind. It's like in walking in the snow. You know who's been there. So you leave your footprints behind when you go home from the beach. Now, this week, we have a brain buster critical thinking fun activity. You're in a room. You are standing on a floor and a room is built around you, concrete, 6 inches thick. A ceiling, a floor, and four walls, all supporting each other. No windows, no doors, no openings, no air vents, no anything. It's just you and the walls, isolated like a cell. It's really not a cell because you have a way out. The only two things you have with you are a baseball and a baseball bat. And the question is, how are you going to get out of that room successfully? Tune in next week on bbsradio.com live with Marty Ford, Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. The name of the show is You About Ready. If you'd like to call in and discuss anything on your mind or anything we discuss on the show, the number is 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Oh, by the way, if you want to send me an email, it's hamp, H-A-M-P, 73@gmail.com. Hamp73@gmail.com. One of the things I'm sure the president will discuss tonight is the minimum wage. Now, what they're going to tell you about the minimum wage is they're probably going to raise it, which is good for the working people and tough for small business because, you know, they have to pass out money along and increase prices to their customer. But what you won't probably hear is the fact that, yay, minimum wage is going up. So the working folks, the people who vote for you, all are going to get a pay raise. But in reality, probably in a few months, tax rate's going to go up. So it's going to eat away at it. Or if you get a pay raise, you're going to be in a higher tax bracket, so you're going to have to pay more money in taxes. So it's a wash, you know. So just be careful how the numbers are delivered to you, because numbers, like many things out there, pictures can be photoshopped, numbers can be manipulated to appear as someone who's telling you about the numbers, want them to appear. So be careful with that. We'll probably get that tonight, minimum wage, and probably a tax rate later. We want to move on to a tidbit of useless information. Why is it important to have tidbits of useless information? Well, like critical thinking brain busters, they can be icebreakers in a social setting. Because we're a very awkward society. We have social media, we have social interaction, but they're all asocial activities. Texting, Facebooking, Instagram, or FaceTiming, I think it's called recently. There's a new one. Skyping, all that. Yes, you are with the person, but you're not with them. You're distant from them. It's like the phone, but only a little bit more sophisticated. We don't have social interaction. If you go to Facebook and read all the responses, they're one and two, maybe five or six words, a sentence or two, if that, in response to someone putting a picture out there, what they had for lunch, or someone driving into the corner in an ice storm or something. I don't know. All the stuff out there that places like Facebook have, and people comment on that because their life is so empty, they have no one to be with. When you're sharing time and space with someone, that's a lot different than sharing a community within a black brainwashing box, which is what your computer screen is, television is, cell phone, any of the apparatus out there, any of the tools that people use for socialization. We are an asocial, almost antisocial. How many times have you called a telephone number hoping that the person wouldn't pick up so that you could just leave a message and go away? And how many times have you received a call from someone and you know who's calling and you just don't want to talk to that person? So you let it ring so they can leave a message or a text. So that's where we've come. We don't share the fence with neighbors. We don't sit at a park bench with the neighbors, with the community. We're antisocial. We're being fooled. We're being just led the wrong way. It's not leadership that's doing this. We're being led. We're followers. We're the animals out there just going to the next available source of social interaction, which is really artificial, fake, and unfulfilling. That's why groups are so good. People who go to groups. You know, there's drum groups out there. I was thinking about many years ago. I remember that. It's a group of guys that go in the woods, and they just beat drums all day. And they all start out all over the place. And within a few minutes, they're all on the same pace. It's like, I remember in the military, when we're marching in formation, guys are out of step, guys are slipping, tripping, but within a few minutes, everyone is marching as one, and it's really cool to watch. I was the only guy in the service in my outfit who really enjoyed going to parades and marching in front of all the people. We had a master drill instructor, and he taught us things while everybody else is waiting for a meal at the mess hall. We were out practicing drills, and it was pretty cool stuff. I enjoyed it. So, social interaction. Meet your neighbor. Say hello. Go to your house of worship. Go to your school. Go to the park. Go somewhere. Work. And just where you work. And just meet people and talk with them. There's a lot of loneliness out there. There's a difference between being alone and loneliness. And loneliness is everything it's cracked up to be. When you need to be alone sometimes because the world can be quite overwhelming, depending on where you're at in it. But it can be quite overwhelming. And so you need alone space. You know, time to sit on the bowl, time to lay on your bed or in your favorite chair and click around aimlessly and mindlessly, or read a book or the newspaper, or go through the family picture albums and shed a tear or two and get some emotion going. Feel good about yourself. Again, that's short-lived. You don't need more than a half hour, an hour or so. To do that, you feel real charged, like taking a nap. You feel refreshed. You want to go out and conquer the world. But when you're lonely, that's when you're on the treadmill going nowhere. And that's why people in recovery have to, they should, I shouldn't say have to, they're best in their best interest to continue to go to groups, their group therapy. And if you don't like a group here, you go to the group over there. If you don't like Burger King, you go to McDonald's. If you don't like McDonald's, you go to Wendy's. Wherever it is, you find a place, a comfort level for yourself where you can express yourself, be yourself, feel accepted, and be open to the conversation that's going on around you, which hopefully focuses in and centers in on someone's recovery and your recovery as well. Because remember, when you put an issue out, there's other people in the room with the same issue, only they might not have the courage to put it out there. Maybe through embarrassment or shame or ridicule or frustration or whatever the feelings are. But once you take that step and put something out, you're helping everybody in the room, because guarantee that half the people in that room have the same or similar issue as you. And when you leave your group, somebody's going to come up to you and say, hey, man, that happened to me, whatever it is. I understand. I walked in your shoes. I feel your pain. Not sympathy, empathy. That's the person you go out and have a cup of coffee with. That's the person you can spend time with, develop a relationship that can, where a common ground exists, and that's what takes root and grows. So put yourself out there. Take a risk. It's there for you to become empowered and to what? Feel good about yourself. Tidbit of useless information talking about the brainwashing black box that we all sit in front of too many times. 33% of the people, this is time people say they spend on digital devices, all the electronic gizmos that are out there. 33% say they spend between 3 and 5 hours a day. 32% spend between 6 and 9 hours a day. I guess those are the folks who are customer service reps or data entry reps at a company, and they're just typing away. Administrative folks in an office, they're in that cubicle. Financial folks, they're there and just clicking and typing and banging in the keyboard and getting carpal tunnel and other things out there. Oh, I heard there's a new tennis elbow illness out there from people using their finger with a bent arm to scroll through their iPads and big computer things. When they use your fingers, that tennis elbow, that little bend right there, is getting taxed, and that'll be the new rehab, like carpal tunnel. 28% say they spend 10 or more hours. 5%, 2 hours or less. That's probably me. And 2% do not use digital devices at all. Those are the people who are cool. Not that everyone else isn't cool, but they're the mavericks. They're the rebels. They're the heretics. They're going against the grain. They're going left when everybody else goes right. Chances are they're the creative art people, right? We'll talk about them later. We've talked about them in the past. Just remember, when you're with artists, and you're not like me, because I can't draw a straight line between two points with a ruler. That was proven in school. When I was in school, when you're with artists, you see an artist, you meet an artist, always thank them for letting you visit the place where they live, because we can't get there. There's very few of them and many of us who need them. I have art right here in the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawa Station. I have art here. Why? It inspires me, just like my music inspires me, right? I play my songs. I got my 4-set. Which used to be a 3-set, right before the show goes on, and I'm pumped, and I'm moving, and I'm shaking, and I'm grinding, and I'm ready. I am about ready. You about ready? I'm about ready. That's what gets me going. My music does that. Sports does that for me. When I watch a game, I want to go play, which is what I did last night. I watched a game, and today I went to play. So that's our tidbit of useless information. Hopefully, you can use it as a icebreaker when you meet somebody. Where? In a social situation. If, in fact, you put yourself out there in social environments other than what's in front of you in the black brainwashed rectangular, most of them, box that we spend too much time in front of. Now we're going to move on to cliches. Oh, the power of the people is stronger than the people in power. Aha. Hence, we have the State of the Union tonight. The power of the people is stronger. We the people are stronger than the people in power. They don't want us to believe that, which is why they might give us an extension of unemployment benefits, a raise in the minimum wage, just to give us a little tidbit, a little smattering, a little taste of upward mobility as they vote themselves, what? A pay raise where we have no say. I'll take a nickel. No, no, you get a nickel, I get a dollar. That's the way it goes out there. And if the president wants to talk about something tonight, it would be great if he addressed the health care scare that's out there. I don't know if he will, because it's really up in the air right now. No one knows what's going on, including the people who wrote it and read it and interpret it and so forth. But if you listen to You About Ready with Marty Ford live Tuesday nights on bbsradio.com, you'll have heard several times my solution for raising all the money that's needed to pay for national health care for all our U.S. citizens. Legal, legit citizens. No fakes out there. We're going to use Medicare and Medicaid as the infrastructure because it's already there and it works well. We just got to clean up the bribes, graft, and corruption just a little bit, right? If there's 30 or 40% of the money attributed to bribes, graft, corruption, cheating, fraud, etc., if we can clean that up, cut that in half, just think how much money we'll make. And if you're interested in learning more, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the numbers now. Quickly, and you can listen over again by going to www.bbsradio.com/youaboutready. Type in tonight's date, January 28th, and you'll hear how the numbers work. We have a population of about 300 million. Let's say 150 million are eligible, 21 years or older. You can change the law to make it 18 and increase the numbers substantially. You can bet $10 per person per week, which is $520 a person per week. We have expenses of about, which translates into a gross income of $78 billion. We have expenses of about 15%. That's $11.7 billion. We have a net income of $66.3 billion. Then we guarantee, this is a lottery, folks. This is a national health care lottery. Pick the numbers. We have a total, we give out a guaranteed payout of $25 million every week. Guaranteed. It keeps growing if no one wins at all. But we want to give away $25 million. That's the way we work it. If there's no first place winner, then the money gets proportionally split up amongst all the other winners. The total first year gross payout is $1.3 billion based on the $25 million a week. And so our total first year net income is $65 billion. We register by subscription online, paying up all the money up front. You can register for 1, 5, 10, 15, or 20 years. And even with a modest investment of 2 to 3%, you can see how the money will grow proportionately. All the prize money is distributed in lump sum payouts. You're not taking less for cash like the way they do it now. No discounts for taking the cash. All the winning prize money is what? Tax-free. That's a good one. And all winning prize money is distributed via electronic mail, direct deposit, and let's get security on there so the hackers don't get into the bank accounts. And the national lottery drawings are held on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. right in the middle of week, which is hump day, which gets everybody pumped up anticipating it and waiting for it to look at their statement in the on their online banking to see how much money they've won, because we're giving away $25 million every week. So that's a simple explanation on how to conquer healthcare. You don't need a 10,000-page document that's been put out there already. This is how you do it. So we're moving on to cliches. The pot calling the kettle black. You know, is pot weed? Do you cook pot in a kettle? Is that Ma and Pa kettle from the movies a long time ago? And why black? Are we introducing racism here? What's going on? Where did that cliche come from? And it's not used as much now. It has been in the past, but I do hear it. And remember, cliches take the place of thinking, critically thinking, if you want, of more appropriate language to use, words to use, phrases to use that take the place of the cliche. We got the foot on the pedal going forward, right? We're laying it out, burning rubber, spinning wheels. We're putting a pedal to the metal, right? Same as foot on the metal. Now, here's a new one I just heard a few weeks ago. Missed the bunny. He missed the bunny. She missed the bunny. That's usually related to sports. Right, guy could miss a basketball player misses a layup, like I've done many times. Field goal kicker misses the extra point or the field goal. Mr. Bunny used to be a chippy shot, but I guess they want to get bunnies in there for whatever reason. Maybe little bunny foo-foo hopping through the forest is scaring people. And maybe the little kids need to know that a bunny is not a bad thing. But missing a bunny, that could be expensive. An open net in a hockey game, you missed the bunny. Maybe a ground ball went through someone's leg as they dropped a fly ball. Right, those are the cliches that we're adding to the list, which in the past we know. I'll give you 10 from the past if I can count them. We want to utilize all our resources, utilize our time, utilize our space. Impact, everything is impacted. I thought that was limited to wisdom teeth. Same page. We're going to be on the same page, and you're going to hear this tonight about transparency. Our government is transparent. It's so transparent, I can't even see in, let alone see out or through. At the end of the day, that's popular. You hear that all the time. Just count the number of times you hear this stuff at work during your daily activities. Step it up, ramp it up, dial it up, amp it up, throw it up, right? Misspoke, which means lied, misled. I didn't know that. I'm a leader. I'm in charge. I was misled by my staff. They misled me. You're going to hear that coming out in the scandals that are going on around the country, locally here too. And my favorite, of course, all in, which many people, especially men, need help with the little blue pill. The all in comes from, World Championship Poker, whatever that's called out there. Now, the football commissioner is jumping on the bandwagon of concussions. And he's right to, because he has to protect his players. And it'll trickle down to, I guess, the college level, the high school level, and the little league level of full contact football. The commissioner is in favor of introducing medical marijuana to treat concussions, right? So you can get high, play high, and stay high. And if everyone says it's good for you, change the law, change the power of definition to make it favorable and acceptable and legal, then it can be done, right? Just like certain people in our country, most of them in Washington, D.C., change the rules. Why? They can take advantage of insider trading, and you and I can't, right? And to buy stocks and just solidify their positions so they don't have to worry about it if they're out of work for a while. They have insider trading. They got connections, right? And we don't. Or if we do, we're not allowed to use them, right, like they do. So the football commissioner, who's under a lot of, stress recently, he's going to be at the game sitting with the people in his car, supposedly, maybe a limo, in the parking lot, not tailgating, not playing catch with a football or frisbee or anything. Maybe it'll be too cold, I don't know, but it's supposed to be somewhat warm, warmer than the vortex. And he's going to be one of the folks, one of the regular guys, right, who sit there and love the game. Prices of tickets are coming down. I saw some for $3,000 or $4,000 for the Super Bowl. The other day I saw some for $1,500 or $1,600. So I don't know why that happens. I'm not an economist, nor am I in the business of reselling tickets. And I really would rather watch it at home because I have my own bathroom, which I need more frequently now than when I was younger. All right, so we're going to introduce a tongue twister tonight to get your brains going, to see how you function in critical thinking. We're going to start with this one. And I want you to do it. I'm going to introduce it, explain it, but then go on your own. It starts like this. One smart fella, he felt smart. Two smart fellas, they felt smart. And so on and so on. You have to say it real fast 10 times and see if you can get from 1 to 10. One smart fella, he felt smart. Two smart fellas, they felt smart. And then three smart fellas, four smart, all the way up to 10. See how far you can go before you mess up with this great tongue twister and using your brain to focus, you know, pick your focal point and go after that and try to conquer it. Snow days are upon us. I think I mentioned this before, but it's worth repeating now because all over the country, schools are closing. Not just the public schools, private schools, up to 12th grade, but colleges are closing for their classes because it's dangerous to be on the road. And so I don't know about how they make up their days, but there's a panic when schools close. The elementary, middle, and high schools close because the parents, how are we going to make up this day? The kids need their credits. The kids need their schooling. And like I remember when our kids were in high school and they would come home in June after having a winter of missing three or four snow days, in some cases five, and everyone, oh, we're going to go to school in the end of June and into July. It'll be horrible. Our vacation and camp and everything will be messed up. So I would ask our kids when they come out in like the second or third week of June, I said, what'd you do in school today? They said, well, we watched a movie, Dad. I said, what? Watch the movie? Yeah, which class? They said, all of them. All of your classes, you watch the movie? Where's the learning take place? Why is everyone in a panic and a crisis mode when they have to take a snow day? Let it go, folks. It ain't that important, right? What's important is that your kids get up, get out, and get going and play. And you support that and not overschedule them, overstructure them, and micromanage their world. Take them to the park and leave them there and let them play. Because that's how they learn life lessons, like conflict resolution. You know, we were playing ball tonight, and it gets a little heated with some of the guys, some more competitive, especially the younger guys and others, which is fine. We love that. That's part of the energy. That's part of the jazz, man. That's part of the greatness of pickup ball. And so what happens is we don't have referees. First, no one wants to pay for them. Second, who needs them? We can solve our own issues. We can negotiate. We can resolve the conflict without bringing in a head jockey to analyze and critique and call us all into a room individually and then collectively to figure out what went wrong way back when. We don't need that because we learned how to do this. People who played pickup as a youth know how to do this. And the problem is today, kids don't do that. They're organized and structured and uniformed and goodie bagged and snack parents and all the other crap that takes away from learning on their own. We are not empowering them when we do that. Like I said, we're micromanaging their world, and we're living vicariously through them. Ah, my kid scored the goal. My kid this. No, it ain't about you. It's about the kid. And let it go. Whether it's in school, on the theater stage, in the music, in the choir, in the band, wherever it is, let the kid be a kid. They need you less and less on their terms. You don't have to overwhelm them and hover over them like the helicopter. Let them go. Let them have their space. And you know what? They'll surprise you. They'll do very well. And they won't have to have all the anxiety and medication out there that's messing up them in school, taken away from learning when they should have fun. I'm here where you will hear stuff that will make it simple and clear for you to become successful and not live in fear. Shut off the brainwashing box. Set yourself free. Unlock the locks that you believe hold you back. When in fact, it is not failure you fear, but success. You have a choice not to be like all the rest. Success will be yours when you challenge yourself and put yourself to the test. Little words of wisdom poetically delivered by Marty Ford, live on bbsradio.com. Now we're going to introduce something called the smartass. Sorry for the word, but you know, some people are just smartasses. A police officer went to someone's house and asked the person, hey, where were you between 5 and 6? Person seemed frightened, irritated, scared. But then he answered, between 5 and 6? Let's see. I was in kindergarten, where we all were. So it was a bit of a shocking response, and maybe the guy got in trouble for saying that. But, you know, a little bit of humor goes a long way. We don't have enough laughter in the world. Too much misery. Three important words. There's a lot of them out there. They've almost become cliche. Some of them have been reduced to just initials or letters, not forming a word like an acronym, just part of our everyday culture. In my world, the most important thing you have is we got next, meaning the basketball game. We're next. We lost, but we're next. On some streets in the neighborhood, in some places, he got game. Wow, he got some game. He got game. In our house, as in many cases around the country, homes, it's what's for dinner? And amongst the youth of the world, they want to keep it real, right? And now we go into the initials that say WTF, OMG, and LOL. So we've been reduced from three-letter words, or three-word statements, we got game, what's for dinner, etc. Now we're down to three. We've so reduced our form of social interaction and communication, we just do it by letter, WTF, OMG, and LOL. Actually, the most important three-word phrase you can say and use is, where's the bathroom? That's why one of the popes, I think it was John Paul VI maybe, the guy spoke like 9,000 languages. He can go anywhere in the world, deliver a speech in their language, and also at the end or in the middle, he was getting older, he could say, where's the bathroom in that language? I mean, that's great. We have our kids in high school and middle school learning Spanish by people who's native speakers but don't know how to teach. and teachers who don't know the language or how to communicate it. After 3 or 4 years, the kids can barely say, ¿Dónde está el baño? Like, where's the bathroom? Of course, if you don't use it, you lose it. So three important words and reduced to three-letter words. Now, we've done that. We're moving on to scandal. I heard of a great scandal and another good reason. There's a guy resigning from Congress in Florida, Republican guy. That doesn't mean anything because they're all part of the same incestuous fraternity. Pleaded guilty to drug possession and had 1 year probation. Was confirmed of his resignation on Monday. He apologized to his constituents and his family after the incident, saying he was profoundly sorry. Now, when someone say they're sorry, they're not describing what they've done. They're describing a character flaw. Because folks like this, and you can include an alcoholic who just came out, coming out of the closet used to mean gay people, lesbian people, transgender, whoever they are, all used to be alternative lifestyle people, but that community to come out of the closet and make their pronouncement of their lifestyle, which is wonderful. You know, why live a lie? Worst thing you can do is live a lie. No one knows it better than people in the gay community. So when they come out, it's a great thing for themselves. They become empowered. Now they're able to move on with their life and accomplish more than they ever thought possible. It takes a lot of brave, courageous folks to do that. Not all do. But one woman who we see on TV all the time just said, I'm an alcoholic. And her life was made miserable at home because her husband kept saying, you need help. And of course, she was in that river, the longest river in the world, called denial, as many people who are in abusing themselves with things that they shouldn't be abusing themselves with go into. And that's denial. So the congressman, is that what he is? A congressman, yeah, he denied, he apologized, said he's sorry, not for what he did. As I said, it's a character flaw or defect. And he's been tremendously positive as he focused on his health, his family, and his faith. I don't know where they were before then when he was using and abusing, but my struggles have had serious consequences, he said. I've dealt with those things on a personal level. It is my belief that professionally I cannot fully and effectively serve. So the place where I call home would be part of that, the people on the dole down there living a lie. So he resigned. And he said he was sorry. And he turned in his resignation. But he said, I could return, right? But maybe it's not in my best interest. Maybe I'll go into rehab. Maybe I'll do something like that. Because we, as an all-forgiving society, we've been brainwashed into that. When you forgive people, they're going to do it again. Now, this is a guy who was put in charge. He spent money, not his probably, supporters' money and taxpayers' money, to get elected. He got into a position of trust, fiduciary responsibility, and made claims to do things. And he ends up like this, disappointing his people, his family, himself. Shame on those folks. I think before someone can take an office of leadership, regardless of where it is, they should have to do what we the people, the little guy in the neighborhood coaching a kid's team, usually his or her kid's team, what we have to do. Drug screening, background check, fingerprinting, right? And we can't go on the field unless we've attended a seminar that says we did all that stuff. A safety course. You have to have a card. And if you cannot step on the field. So if you're a coach, and you're like an assistant coach, and you don't have all your stuff, the head coach or the manager, whatever he is, cannot let you participate. You can be a parent and a spectator, but you can't pick up a bat, you can't throw a ball, you can barely talk to the kids because you're not approved. So why don't we put our leaders, who are in charge of all our money, under the same scrutiny? It ain't that big a deal. If you got nothing to hide, open yourself up. Not like a birth certificate that we don't know where it is or anything other proof of residency or documentation. Right? So let's put these leaders, the ones who were constantly being exposed in scandal, right, under the same scrutiny that we do. And it doesn't stop there. I just read where the Pope cleans his house, I guess over in the Vatican, at the bank where all the money's been, not all, but much of the money's been stolen over the years, millions of dollars. They clean these cleaning house, right? They're sweeping out all the bad, except one guy who I guess is on his good side. He didn't get caught. Another scandal out there, of course, in the Vatican, which comes under sharp criticism for sex abuse. What a mystery. Putting people in charge of kids who you are entrusted to take care of and be responsible for, and abusing and violating that trust. What worse damaging, damning behavior can someone do is to hurt a kid? If you mess with a kid, you're out. You get one shot, you're out. Get the people who are in jail on marijuana charges, get them the hell out of jail. They're harmless. They're not going around fooling with kids. They're not going around shooting up malls and schools and offices and neighborhoods. They're not doing that. They're smoking some weed, having some Malamars, and watching TV or gazing at a picture. They're basically harmless. Let's get the abusers, the molesters, let's call it what it is, regardless of where they're at, however they've been hidden out for all these years, let's get them off the streets and out of our mainstream society. And put the shooters and the psychos out there too. It's not the guns we have to control, it's the people. 8-year-old kids in certain parts of the country know how to use a gun. They've been taught how to use it respectfully, carefully, safely. They can probably break it down and put it together and clean it as good as any adult. Certainly as me. The only thing I know about a gun is I was holding a gun in the service one time, and the guy said, "Fire your gun, fire your gun." So I looked at the gun, I said, "You're fired." So without pulling the trigger. So let's do that. Let's get the bad guys out of the way so our kids can go to the park and play and have fun amongst themselves, learn life lessons without the threat of the bad guys being there. If the bad guys show up, that's why we have police, right? Power of one, the police, the power of one. I've said it before. There's one policeman in our town. He directs like 5 lanes of traffic, pedestrian traffic, biking traffic, and he does it all simply because he's in control and everyone respects him. They slow down. They put turn signals on. They wait and watch for him to motion them, the driver, to move on or to stop. Power of one. That's all you need. So we want to go back to our empowerment. Sorry about the We went over so many things in the past week from my book, Power Up Your Power, that we have to talk about some more. And I just have to find myself. We had what? We had downtime. That's where we did. And that's like being alone time. What you need, even if it's 20 minutes an hour. You need give back time. Right? That's showing that there's no greater feeling in the world than the good feelings you get when someone says, "I appreciate what you did for me." Isn't that nice? So get up, get out, get going, and help somebody else. You'll be helping yourself. Creativity. Allow yourself the space to create. Give yourself permission to express yourself, your feelings, emotions, sensitivities, and your heart. I have very little creativity, but I do know what gives me creative pleasure. And that is seeing the talented, skilled, gifted, and blessed use those tools to create beauty that can be appreciated by the masses. From the artist, the creative person's pain, comes beauty. Socially, get up, get out, get with people, get going. There's clubs, organizations, and groups you can join, which will enhance the quality of your life. You will also expose yourself to give-it-away opportunities, since many social clubs do some kind of charity work, even if it's just for their own organization. By what giving it away means being charitable, offering your time and your skill, your talent, your ability, and just you. Education. Education is the fuel for the future. Education is obtained through traditional school environments, as well as personal interests, books for pleasure, fun and enjoyment, travel, the streets, jobs, participation in activities, exposure to people, and most anywhere you are. Education occurs when you have an open mind and allow new things to enter that will presently or in the future make you a better person. The best learning takes place when you give it away to the next person, because you can't keep it. You got to live it, give it away. So education in any form, not formal. You learn from the people in your world. I learn from my kids all the time, right? It's a great thing. Wow, I didn't know that. And that's good. That makes them feel good, like, wow, I'm teaching my parent, I'm teaching an adult, a grown-up who's supposed to know everything. We don't have all the answers. The only people who have all the answers, I think, are the smartest people in the world, and those are reference librarians. Because if they don't have the answer at their disposal, they know where to get it expeditiously. Tremendous people, and I hope libraries don't close down with the all the other ways of getting information these days, because that's a social thing. I've had very friendly relationships with many reference librarians over the years because I'm basically not that smart and I need their help and I can't always find it. I don't want to find it on the internet. I like the human contact, like when I go to a bank and there's not a 6-inch plate of glass between me and the worker there, the staff person. I like to see them. Hey, how you doing? How's your day? Right? History. What's the first thing you do when someone whom you haven't seen for a few months, weeks, or years, what's the first thing you do? How many great evenings have been started with, hey, do you remember when? And go on. Look at that picture. Weren't we silly back then? Or I wonder what happened to someone. Lucky are those who have friendships dating back to elementary school, though they might not see each other but once a year or talk on the phone once or twice a year, if that. They still have their common history on which they can build and grow towards the future. A common ground. We all have it. It usually starts with family, right? Family, folks. Very important. You need balance. To keep yourself focused and centered on yourself, you need to maintain your balance. By using your power, you keep yourself on target to succeed. You are able to control the ups and downs of everyday life. You are able to ride with the tide and go with the flow. That's the Carly Simon James Taylor line. Ride with the tide and go with the flow. Mockingbird, I guess. Don't make a mockery of your life. You are able to adjust by using your flexibility. You're able to make the best from the worst. You create something from nothing. People in real estate take dirt and turn it into dollars. Believing. You can do anything you want to do once you believe in yourself. You have the power to achieve your goals. The only thing in your way is you. You're the impediment. You're the obstacle. You can talk yourself out of anything. Why don't you talk yourself into something? Go the extra mile. The ingredients for success are universal. Everyone who is successful believes in themselves and uses all or a combination of the ingredients. Methods vary from person to person, yet the common ingredient is the result, of course, which is what? Success. Nothing tastes better than success. You can have all the fake blue, yellow, and pink packets of sweetener you want. You take a taste of honey, that's real, that's natural, that's pure. And the more you have, the more you want. Love. When you have love in your life and heart, you are in a possession of the most valuable asset known. You have love's support to carry you through the journey to success. Love is your partner. Love is like a ghost. You can't see it, feel it, touch it, smell, hear or taste it. But you know it is there, offering strength, comfort, and power. When you have love in your life, many people get hung up with this, especially the younger folks, middle, like the 20s and 30s. They open up their heart. They let someone in, and that person stomps on their heart with their Air Force Ones, and they leave. And they get very defensive and they shut down and they don't want to take that risk anymore because they don't want to be hurt like that anymore. And remember, time wounds all heals if that happened to you in a negative way, a breakup. And when you get to the point where you say, you know what, I'm in a relationship, I'm feeling things aren't going, I'm going to break up with you before you break up with me because I don't want to go through that pain again. I do not want to experience that. And when we do that, we are limiting ourselves. We are not taking a risk. You got to exercise every day, folks. A little bit. 30-minute walk every day. We talked about it before. You don't have to be the obese crowd. Stay away from the buffet. Push away from the buffet. The only buffet you should have in your life is not a buffet. It's Jimmy Buffett. Listen to his music. It's uplifting. It's inspiring. It's spiritual. Listen to some of his music and some of the other people out there. Find the music you like. It will inspire and motivate you. It will help empower you. It'll enrich your life. It'll make you better. Music, any kind of art, any kind of, whatever it is you like, find it. We talked about it a long time in the past with our fighting boredom. There's art, there's music, there's dance, there's performances, there's musical instruments, there's singing in the chorus or a choir and in a harmony group or whatever it is. Those things are inspiring. Now, for your health, you want to drink water, plenty of it. Forget all the other crap. It's got stuff in there. We don't even know what it is. And we don't even know what's in our water, but hopefully it's been filtered and purified from all the stuff that is not good for us. Now, you want to control your diet? Eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, and dinner like a pauper. Big breakfast. Get up, start your day. Maybe you can start your day a half hour, 40 minutes earlier by what? Taking a walk. Burning, getting, creating an appetite. Eat a big meal. Eat a medium lunch and have an apple or some cup of tea for dinner or before bed, right? And you'll lose the weight. You want to need a scale. You will just put on your pants and they're going to fall down or whatever piece of clothing. You'll know in a couple of weeks the success that you're enjoying by not doing anything fantastic, just by doing some simple, basic things, like taking care of yourself without someone having to sell you powder or protein or pills or equipment or DVDs or any of the other stuff that's useless. Pair of sneaks, some sweat clothes, get up, get out, get going, take a walk, you'll lose the weight. Eat the proper foods, the stuff that grows on trees and plants as opposed to a factory. Live with energy, enthusiasm, and empathy. Make time to pray. Doesn't have to be religious. That's the spiritual world we talk about, where you create the definition for yourself. Because what works for you doesn't work for the other person. Create your own world. It's a big responsibility, and you have to take time for yourself to do that. Play more games. Be a kid. Have fun. Ride your bike. Swim in a pond, jump in a pond off a Tarzan swing. Do some splash in a puddle, right? Put on a costume. Put on a happy face. That's what all the little kiddie shows tell us. Why don't we follow some of those rules? Because those kids are happy. Why? They don't know any different. They haven't been violated or polluted by the world out there that's ugly, nasty, crude, and rude. You don't have to fall into that category. You can be a leader of yourself, by yourself, for yourself. Almost like the National Healthcare Lottery, which is of the people, by the people, and for the people. Play more games, we said. Read more books than you did last year. For me, that would be one. I'm not a big reader of books. I do read a lot, but I just don't sit there and read books. My wife's in a book club, and she complains that all they do is read these tragic, horrible, horrific stories, like you see on TV, on the black rectangular brainwashing box. Why are we so intrigued and enthralled and drawn to all that negativity? Why does Law and Order have a 20-year history with many spin-offs? What the heck is going on? Are we so scared to go out in the world that this is what we're reduced to? Have we become that brainwashed? Yeah, I guess we have. It's terrible. Break the cycle. Get out. Get up. Get out and get going. Sit in silence. Have peace for yourself. Whether you're in the shower, on the bowl, in your car, taking a walk, little space for yourself. This is all for your health. Get a good night's sleep. You know, as you get older, it's tougher because you're going up and going to the bathroom every hour or so. But you can control that by not drinking maybe after dinner or something like that, your apple or your cup of tea. Maybe forget the cup of tea and have an apple or a banana or something. Take a 10 to 30 minute, I don't like this, not 10, 30-minute walk. 10 to 20, 30 is too big a range. You're going to get lazy. Discipline yourself. That's part of the empowerment from my book, and we're going to talk about the power words, and discipline is one of them. You got to be a little disciplined. It ain't that hard. Do it. So take a 30-minute walk, and when you smile or when you walk, have a smile on your face. Don't put the buds in your ears. Look at the trees, follow the birds, follow your heart, and as always, when we want to sign off from here, we want you to power up your power, because the power is in you.